I'm very happy now to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Wendy Johnson. She's medical director at La Familia Medical Center. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte. It's great to be here.
So we are talking today about a subject that has been talked about a lot in New Mexico, namely drug addiction. And it turns out that this is yet another area in which New Mexico is number one, and we're not happy about it, which is that we have the highest drug-induced death rate in the whole United States of America.
Yeah, that's correct. And, you know, that's from mostly from opioids, from prescription narcotics, and from heroin and drugs that are related to those medications. We've been struggling for many, many years now with really first a heroin problem, which was greater than the country, but that has gotten a lot worse in the rest of the country and in New Mexico. And then what has fueled it over, I would say, the last at least 15 to 20 years, really 15, has been a huge explosion in the use of prescription opioids or narcotics, things like oxycodone, OxyContin, Percocet, Vicodin are kind of the common names, the brand names. A huge increase in the prescription of these drugs for pain. And now a lot of that prescription for pain has addicted people. And they go on to get the drugs first from their doctor. And then when that prescription ends, often they become addicted. And then they look to other sources to get those drugs.
There are also people who just buy opiate medicines on the street who don't have pain.
Well, right. It's a complicated kind of network or web of causes of addiction. So certainly before we started prescribing opioid drugs so freely for pain, there were still a lot of people that were addicted to opioids. It's a very powerful drug. And in human beings, it's one of the drugs that causes addiction most quickly and most often. And so, heroin, opium, there's a reason why there's a saying about the religion being the opium of the masses. Opium is a really powerful medication physiologically in the human body, the way it creates addiction, and psychologically as well.
I have heard people who were talking about pain who said that if you are in tremendous pain and you take an opioid medicine, it basically goes to the pain. Whereas if you're not in pain, then it gets you high. But it's actually different effects depending on whether you actually need it for the pain or not. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, there's a lot of factors that go into how addiction develops if you take opioids. For example, if you're in excruciating pain and you're taking it for a short amount of time, like post-surgical pain or something like that, and you're taking an appropriate amount to treat your pain and not way more than what your pain would really require, then those folks don't get addicted very often. But what happens is, and to give you an example, about 20 years ago, because of the high potential for addiction, those were really the only circumstances where opioids got prescribed. Because about 20 years ago, all we had is the shorter-acting opioids, like morphine, for example. And the only people that would get these medications were people who were in that kind of excruciating pain, often caused by cancer, often in terminal stages, and wanted to just live out the rest of their lives comfortably. And the issues around addiction weren't so serious because it was often for fatal conditions that this was given.
As my 90-year-old grandmother once said, "If so, I get an addictive medicine, so what?"
Yeah. And yes and no, I would say, because what's happened in New Mexico is some of those 90-year-old grandmothers have gotten those prescriptions, sometimes not for excruciating pain, sometimes for things like arthritis or things like that are more chronic and not terminal. And sometimes they've gotten doses that are much higher than what they need to really treat that pain and for much longer periods of time. So two things happen. One, you can, I still don't think it's a great thing to make create a bunch of 9-year-old addicts. But two, those, you know, your grandmother has grandchildren, children, you know, nieces, nephews, whatever. And what's happened in New Mexico is when we give those prescriptions, family members also take them. In New Mexico, we have one of the highest rates in the country of young people, high schoolers, getting high on prescription medicines. And where are they getting those medicines? From their parents, from their grandparents, from other people who have gotten those prescriptions. So it still feeds this addiction.
So why has there been prescription for granny's arthritis that is in too high doses and for too long?
Well, it dates back to about 1996 when Purdue Pharma created OxyContin. And they marketed OxyContin as a medication that was addiction-proof, practically. And they very, very aggressively marketed OxyContin to primary care providers as a first line for these other kinds of time-limited pain or not terminal excruciating cancer pain, which was historically what these medicines were sort of reserved for. Because they said, this is the perfect medicine. It'll treat the pain and it won't cause addiction. And so prior to that time, we were really struggling with chronic pain. There were a lot of things being investigated, physical therapy, massage, acupuncture, biofeedback, all kinds of different modalities. But, you know, when this came about, you would really look at the patient and try to figure out what was causing their pain, you know, what was the specific circumstances of this patient to try to tailor a therapy to this patient. And then when Purdue started marketing OxyContin as this wonder drug for pain, it was much easier to just say, okay, well, it doesn't really matter where your pain comes from or who you are or, you know, what other mental health problems you might have, for example. OxyContin is the wonder drug for pain. That's what the drug company is telling me. That's all these aggressive marketing and, you know, insurance companies were covering it. They weren't covering a lot of these other alternative modalities. So the number of prescriptions of opioids for pain skyrocketed, and many, many, many providers started prescribing OxyContin in pretty high doses for all kinds of causes of chronic pain or pain in general. And that's what it really dates back to. Now, what happened, of course, now in retrospect we know, is those claims that Purdue Pharma was making were not true. And in fact, they lost a lawsuit, one of the biggest lawsuits in the pharmaceutical industry history, because it was shown that it is actually very addictive, the OxyContin. They've recently changed the formulation to make it harder. What was happening is the original formulation was being crushed and used essentially to overcome that long-acting property of it. They've recently changed the formulation to make it, again, harder to use in that short-acting way. But still, those medicines are addictive, and they've stopped making the claim that they're not. It has a black box warning on OxyContin. But the cat's already out of the bag, and it's hard to get it back in the bag.
It does make you skeptical anytime somebody says, this is a wonder drug, and you, as a prescribing physician, have to be really careful and do your research to really see if what they're claiming is true, which probably a lot of people don't have time for.
Well, that could be a topic of a whole nother show, the way that pharmaceutical companies market to physicians, the way physicians think we're so impervious to that marketing and think we always look at the, you know, the whole picture. But in reality, as you said, the job of especially a family practice or a primary care physician can be overwhelming, and the amount of things that you have to keep up on and know. And when a pharmaceutical rep comes into your office and says, oh, look at this drug, and here's some, they give you some, you know, carefully designed studies to show the drug in the best light possible. And it's easy to just accept that and just, you know, you don't have time necessarily to research it. That's why pharmaceutical companies spend literally billions of dollars on marketing, because it works, and because you know, they make billions of dollars from many of these drugs. OxyContin right now is about $3 billion a year drug.
We're talking to Dr. Wendy Johnson about addiction and opioid addiction specifically. Now, what the story that you just told essentially is a story that we have probably in many states of the United States, but in New Mexico, the pill opiate addiction goes hand in hand with the heroin addiction. What does that look like?
Well, that's actually true everywhere also. You know, what happens is that, as I said, you know, the high school student gets into granny's medicines and gets high off of the OxyContin and then gets addicted. And then, you know, granny's doctor stops prescribing that medicine and that supply dries up. So then maybe they try to buy it on the street. And actually, heroin is less expensive than street prescription opioids, and so than pills. And so at some point, a lot of people, a significant number of people, somewhere maybe around 10 to 15% of people who get addicted on prescription end up on heroin. And that's a lot of people believe that's why we've had this explosion of heroin that's kind of followed the wave of opioid prescriptions for pain.
Meanwhile, we also have a long-standing heroin addiction problem in northern New Mexico.
Yeah, that's a really interesting phenomenon as well. I don't know that I've actually read or seen the definitive explanation of that. You know, there's certain parts of the country, Baltimore is often mentioned, along with Espanola Valley and northern New Mexico, as having some of the worst heroin and problems in the country. And it's a complicated thing that I'm not an expert to talk about, but it's very interesting, and I've looked into it, and I think we've yet to really explain why that occurs here.
Is there a typical profile for who is most in danger of becoming an opium addict or opioid addict, whether it be heroin or pills?
Well, I do think, again, you know, in our last discussion we talked a lot about inequality and poverty, and I do think those things are related. You know, when people are under a lot of stress, it tends to also be related with higher rates of mental illness, of depression. People who have higher rates of mental illness and depression are more prone to kind of feel pain more acutely. And so sometimes they go to their doctors and they're really depressed, but how they're perceiving it or talking about it is in terms of pain or chronic pain. And those folks who have, you know, mental illness or underlying behavioral health issues, and also, you know, that aren't diagnosed and also have chronic pain issues, I think are at high risk of getting addicted. But anyone is really at risk. And, you know, I've known people in all walks of life. I've known physicians, I've known professional people, you know, who start out getting prescriptions for their back pain and end up getting addicted. And so nobody is really immune.
Well, physicians have access.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that I think physicians also feel often like we know how to manage these medications. And so, but most of the time, I think it starts with a prescription for legitimate pain. And so I think that's why especially physicians are, you're right, physicians and healthcare providers are susceptible, because they think, well, you know, I know how to diagnose myself. I actually really do have pain and I'm really taking these responsibly. But it's interesting if we look at professionals of all kinds, but especially healthcare providers, and how easy it is for healthcare providers to get addicted, we should have a lot of empathy for folks who don't have that level of knowledge, who also sort of unwittingly get addicted. And, you know, I see this in my practice every day. People who I think are addicted they don't think they're addicted, because they genuinely perceive themselves as having chronic pain, that they're genuinely believing that this is the only thing that can treat it. And so sorting, and they do have chronic pain, but what has also been shown about these opioids is they're not terribly good at treating chronic pain because of the tolerance levels that develop. And so it ends up working for a little bit, but then you end up needing more and more, and that creates this spiral of addiction.
There's also the problem that in response to this, there have been attempts to put limits on physicians' prescribing ability and so on. And the people who are, and it's a very small number, in really desperate long-term chronic pain actually need these things, and some of them aren't able to get it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a smaller problem, frankly, than the problem of addiction. But it's a legitimate problem, and I think that that's why, you know, the bottom line is we've created this environment that's awash in opioid prescriptions. And so now we've created an environment where addiction is very likely to happen amongst the general population. In that environment are people, a lot of people who legitimately need this medication. At this point, it's when I've talked about putting the cat back in the bag, it's really hard to go back to those days where it wasn't the first line for pain. That we tried a lot of other things, and if those things didn't work, we had the narcotics as an option. And that's really where we have to get back to. It should not be a first line. We should try other things because of the risks involved with these medications. And, you know, but they are legitimately good medications for a certain part of the population, and we should recognize that.
So what is the public health response, and what do you think is the ideal public health response to opioid addiction in New Mexico or anywhere?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked about that, because actually New Mexico and Santa Fe County specifically is doing a lot. I have to give a lot of credit to the State Department of Health, a lot of credit to the county Department of Health and Human Services. They're really stepping up to the plate in a lot of ways. Some things that have just happened recently that are revolutionary, and we're the only place in the country, is that there's a medication. So there's three pillars, I would say, of what we have to do. One is harm reduction. So we talked about how our rate of death by overdose from drug overdose is twice that of the national average and very high, one of the highest. We're always number one or two the last few years for that. So what we have to do is prevent people dying from these drugs. And there's a great medication for that. It's called Naloxone or Narcan. And it can be given by anybody. It's a spray you kind of spray into your nose. And we are doing a lot in this county to make that available to anyone. So if you are taking these medications, even if, you know, you're doing it responsibly, be aware that somebody else can get into your medications. You know, there's a lot of causes of these death by overdose. And so anyone who's taking opioid medications or heroin especially should have a rescue kit, it's called, of this Naloxone rescue kit, which consists of the medicine, which is in liquid form, aerosolized form, and the sprayer that you spray it into your nose with. And so anybody should have that in their house that has narcotics in their house, basically, no matter what the reason you have the narcotics for or why you're taking them. And we're doing a lot to get that out to people. The jail is doing a lot to give a lot of folks get into the jail with addiction problems, and they're doing a lot to make sure that everybody who leaves the jail with addiction has this kit. We're giving it to folks at La Familia who are taking opioids, even for legitimate reasons, or who we suspect might have friends or family that want it, who need to have it. And the really revolutionary thing that happened is the pharmacist in New Mexico now can give it directly to patients. So you can go into a pharmacy and get it from a pharmacist. And the other thing that's great is it's covered by Medicaid. So that combination makes it really available to anyone who wants it or needs it. So I encourage everybody, if you know somebody that's either using heroin or using any kind of opioid pain medication, or if you yourself are, to go get a Naloxone prescription. So one thing is harm reduction. That's called harm reduction, to reduce the harm of taking these medications and prevent death, most principally. Then the second thing is treatment for people who are already addicted. So there's a couple of treatment options. One, the old treatment option that's been around for a long time, is methadone. And we have a methadone clinic here. There's a methadone clinic in Albuquerque. But it's they're overloaded. And so it's very hard to get into treatment. The next available, the other treatment that's newer, is a drug called, the brand name is Suboxone or buprenorphine. And it's a medicine that's also an opioid, but it's a less strong one. It doesn't activate your system as much as, or deactivate really your system as much as opioids do. So it satisfies the craving. It satisfies that physical part of the addiction, but it doesn't get you really high. And you can't, it's hard to take so much of it that you would overdose. So, so it doesn't have some of the dangers related to the other opioids. So the combination of taking that medication, getting therapy, going to groups, dealing with the mental aspects of the addiction as well, the psychological aspects, is really a great treatment option for people. The problem is that in order to prescribe this medicine, Suboxone, one, only physicians can prescribe it because this is regulations the DEA put in place. And two, you need to get special training. You need to, it's kind of more highly scrutinized, much more highly scrutinized than the narcotics themselves. So not enough providers in New Mexico or Santa Fe really have the ability to prescribe Suboxone, so there's not enough treatment slots for the people who really need them. I was talking to one local provider of Suboxone the other day. He said he has a waiting list of about 150 patients.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, wanting to get in to see him. So so we need more physicians to have the ability to prescribe.
And we need more physicians in the state anyway.
Well, yeah, absolutely. More primary care. And then the third thing is really educating physicians about the dangers of prescribing these medications, and not just physicians, but all healthcare providers that can prescribe. And as I said, dealing with some of the demand issues. You know, we do have in Santa Fe County the take back program. So if you've gotten these and you have them sitting in your pharmacy, there's, I don't have that information right here, but there's days when you can go and bring your medicines in to be destroyed. And so we do have some programs to get the drugs out of circulation, but really we need to have the providers prescribing more responsibly as well. And that's starting to happen. I think we're seeing decreases in the prescriptions for opioids in Santa Fe and across the country. And the other great thing that we have in Santa Fe and New Mexico is this prescription drug database. So if I'm a prescriber and I have somebody that's on opioids for a reason that's legitimate, I can look at the database and make sure they're not getting from another doctor, they didn't go to the ER and get another prescription, so I know exactly how much they're getting, I know exactly when they're refilling it. All the pharmacies and all the prescribers are in this database, so you know, I can really keep track of my patients and make sure that they're using the medicines responsibly.
Wendy Johnson is medical director at La Familia Medical Center. Now, if anybody wants to get more resources, somebody's listening who has an addiction problem or knows somebody who does, are there any websites or phone numbers that they can call or hook into?
One resource is the Santa Fe Care Connection, which can connect people who are addicted with treatment services, and that phone number is 505-995-9550. And they're also, they're at 2052 Galisteo Street as well. So the Care Connection is a network of community providers and can connect people to the appropriate care. The other option that I talked about is Naloxone. And as I said, at both Healthcare for the Homeless in Santa Fe and La Familia, if you or anyone you know is using heroin or really for any reason and you want a Naloxone prescription, you can get that through Healthcare for the Homeless. What we do at La Familia is if we prescribe opiate, you get a Naloxone prescription. But any physician or, as I said, pharmacist can also give you that. So if you have another provider, if you're on opioids, go to your provider and ask them for a Naloxone prescription. I don't think the pharmacist is in place quite yet. I think it's going to be a couple of weeks before that begins. But first start with your physician, and then in a few weeks I think you can go in to any pharmacist in the state and get a prescription for Naloxone. So that would be another thing that was really important for folks that know people taking opioids or are taking opioids themselves.
Wendy Johnson, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
All right, thanks.